It is Wednesday, September 7th, and we have on the line Karen Meredith again from Gold Star Families for Peace in Illinois. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. You were saying before we started recording this that you're on the road heading to a school. Can you tell us what your activity is this morning?
Yeah, we'll be on our way to Kelly High School in Chicago, and we're going to be passing out opt-out leaflets, and we'll be, all of the riders on the bus will be split up, and we'll be going to different classes. So we're going to speak to during three periods.
Oh, so you're actually going to be in the school.
Yeah, we'll be in the classrooms. This is the first week of school, so we're making sure that the kids know that they have the ability to opt out of giving their information to the military. And again, I'd like to reiterate that we are not anti-military, but our current administration is not using the military the way that we think that they should be. So that's why we're participating. You know, Ken is fourth generation military, my son,
mm-hmm.
and so it's not that we're anti-military at all. We just want people to know that they do have choices.
Right, and the opt-out form is something that was provided for in the No Child Left Behind Act, is that correct?
Correct. And many schools just stuff it in with all the other forms and information for the first week of school, and a lot of parents don't know that they have the ability to opt out. It doesn't mean that they might not get their information in other ways, but at least it's letting them control the information a little bit.
Right, and that form basically directs the school to not give their child's name to a military recruiter or the right. And that's we should be clear maybe about the No Child Left Behind Act, how it operates in this arena that basically says that the schools have to give the names to the military, but then leaves it open that a parent can opt out.
Right.
I believe that's correct.
Right.
So,
yeah, one of the wonderful provisions of the No Child Left Behind.
Right, right. And so have you, what has been your experience so far? Have you done this yet? I know other people.
I haven't done it yet. Yesterday, another group, when we split up and we did the press conference for the opening of Eyes Wide Open, and then the other group had gone to a high school, and they seem to be very successful and were quite welcomed by the school yesterday. So we're hoping to have the same welcome. We will be, our contact at this school is a social studies teacher, which I think is appropriate too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to hear you're getting into the school, and I think mentioning the Eyes Wide Open project and then also this opt-out form and what it really is about, as you said, is all of us having our eyes wide open and thinking about what we're doing, and in this case, young people considering all the options, hopefully before they decide to go into the military or not. And that's what's been true about this war all along, is we haven't had our eyes wide open, and we haven't had a discussion. We didn't initially, and it's just now really starting to come to the fore.
Right. And Eyes Wide Open is the name of the exhibit of the boots. The empty boots that are representing the soldiers who have been killed, and it's the project of AFSC, the American Friends Service Committee,
mm-hmm.
and the whole title of their exhibit is Eyes Wide Open, The Human Cost of War.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that's what people need to know, is if you see a number, which is 1892. Oh, it is 92.
Yes.
Now, when I went to bed, it was 1890.
Yeah.
So it's 1892 now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the number, and it could be relative to what you're doing. A list of names looks bad, too,
mm-hmm.
but when you see the boots or you see 1892 pictures, you know, then it's really more representative and makes people stop and think a little bit.
Yeah, and you said yesterday, I believe, that the Eyes Wide Open exhibit started in the Chicago area. Is that correct?
Yes, it did. And I believe it was January of 2003. No, January of 2004, yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're going to school today. I don't think I even pointed out at the beginning that you, of course, since you're in the Illinois area, it may be obvious that you're on the northern leg of the three legs of this Bring Them Home Now tour. So you go into the school, and I'll be very interested to hear the next time we talk, perhaps, how that went. What else is scheduled for you today in that?
So today, it looks like we've got less of a schedule than we did yesterday. We were just booked from 7 a.m. yesterday to 10 o'clock last night. So we were all very tired by the time. So today we actually get, it looks like we've got a couple of hours, then we're going to have a lunch, and then we're going to be meeting with local peace activists.
Mm-hmm.
And this afternoon we're going to walk over to the Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert's office. We do not believe that he will be in town, but we're going to his office nonetheless. Now, at some time, Cindy will be meeting up with us for that meeting at Hastert's office. So that should get the press interested in the Northern tour for a little bit.
Well, very good. I want to tell you something that's going to be starting here today, because it's obviously they're all connected. In Eugene, today at 4:30, we're starting about a 49-hour vigil. We're calling it Camp David, after David W. Johnson, the DeFord's son, who was killed almost a year ago now. It was September 2004, at the Federal Building in Eugene, and the focus of it is on our U.S. senators, Gordon Smith and Ron Wyden, one Democrat, one Republican, to basically, as you folks did with Camp Casey and continue to do, to get them to stand up and take a stand and call for immediate withdrawal, call for something, end to this war.
Don't sit on the fence anymore. We're going to make that a real uncomfortable position.
Yes.
And we've made that very clear, that we expect the attendees of our events to, write a letter, make a phone call that you've never done before, but make them be accountable to, you voted on it with the information you had, all of that. What we knew then has changed, so you can't just sit there and not do anything. And the question that we're asking people to ask their legislators is, what have you done today to end the war?
Right, because obviously people are in danger every second of the day, and that's been my sort of personal moral stand all along, is that it's the number one issue for me, because our country is responsible for the death of many innocent people, as well as our own military that we have sent over there. So,
well, and hopefully when people take that personal responsibility, as you just said, then they will understand that they do have the power to stop it as well.
Mm-hmm.
If all of our voices collectively get together and speak to our legislators, they have to listen to us. And what we've been saying on the tour as well is, I don't think we've forgotten it, but we need to be reminded that this country is we the people, and all of our legislators work for us. So I don't think they're doing a very good job as a whole. There are many, of course, that are, but we need to make sure that America is the kind of country that we want it to be, not the kind of country that other people have a vision for.
Right. Well, very good. And as we've said before in these conversations, this Camp Casey and the tour and your meeting with a lot of individuals and all the things that you're doing on all three legs, as well as what's been kind of sparked around the country, is doing that. It's part of taking back the democracy.
Yep, and I think we're working hard. We had a vigil last night at the our Camp Casey North, where the crosses and the boots were set out at our Unitarian Universalist Church in Evanston. And I would say there were several hundred people there. And it was everyone was holding a candle during the whole time. People, as they were driving by, were honking, and all of the bus riders spoke. And the mayor of Evanston spoke for a little bit, as well as a city alderman. And they are proposing in their city council on Tuesday night, I'm not sure what the resolution is, but it's something about ending the war. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, you know, we need to do this from a city level. And I think there's a website, it's Cities for Peace, I think, that people can read more about. And I'm going to be downloading something and going to my city when I get home, too, because I just think if all the cities say that, and then it's the states, and then, you know, then they really can't ignore us.
Correct. Yeah, that's good. Well, we're still 2.5 weeks away before the big mobilization in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere, where you're heading, Washington, D.C. Are you getting any sense of folks telling you that we're going to be there, or...
Well, we're playing one city against another. We're saying, you know, Milwaukee's taking 2 buses. How many are you taking? And seriously, most of the cities and most of the areas we've been speaking in are taking at least 2 buses. One will be a quick turnaround, like leave on Friday and come back on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then other buses that'll be staying through the weekend. But Milwaukee is, I know Evanston is, Chicago is, and, you know, of course here it's easy, not easy, but it's a long trip, but easier for them to do that turnaround trip from where you're located. But there are a lot of buses going to Washington, and, you know, it sounds like we may get the 500,000 that we're asking for.
Wow, that sounds great. And I will note that people heard it here first. The strategy behind the Bring Them Home Now tour exposed, working one city against the other.
Don't tell. Tell them we said that.
Well, yeah, I'm afraid it's going to...
It's, you know, it's like, well, Milwaukee told us they were taking 2. You're only taking 2?
Yeah. So, it's going to go down with the spiked watermelon, I'm afraid, is the...
That's right. You see, you're getting me too early in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm telling all our secrets.
It's just my,
good reporter.
Oh, yeah, it's my great interviewing style, just getting to the hardcore issues. Right. Okay. Well, Karen, are you leaving the tour for a while here soon?
Yeah, I'm leaving tonight at 10 o'clock, so I'll be back in California in my own bed several days, and then I'm going to be joining up in Baltimore on the 20th.
Okay, well, let's end this recording, and I'd like to talk to you off the recorder just to kind of plans about how to make connections while you're gone, that sort of thing. Okay? So thank you very much. Have a great day in Illinois, the whole day again, right?
Yep. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.